Chapter 14. I took these lads to show them the lions, the tombs, Bedlam, and the other places which are entertainments to raw minds. John Smith, 1629. The next day, after my last afternoon class, I called the phone number Monica had given me. I got her voicemail instead, and so I proceeded to leave her a detailed phone message informing her of the new information I had learned about the Ne Plus Ultra modeling agency and the backdoor connection to a guy named Joey K. I honored my pledge by not bringing up Zeke's name as the source of the information, but there was a good chance she would guess anyway. Before hanging up, I repeated my advice that she deliver the calendar and the new information to the police and let them take it from there. Then, because I had free time and was curious, and because I was fairly certain Zeke was exaggerating the dangers, I took the southbound IRT, getting off at 49th Street. I headed south in the direction of Times Square. Daylight savings time had just ended, which meant it was now dark by rush hour. However, the buildings that formed the canyons around Times Square and the theater district were lit up by neon signs of every size and description, giving off their multitude of hues that repeatedly blossomed and exploded, so that everything took on the blended color of a rainbow smoothie. The painted clouds above showed a blush that was mainly purple and red. Searching for the building number, I continued walking. I came upon a purple and green lit dance bar lounge. There was a lineup of men standing out front, not waiting to get in, but peering over each other's shoulders, taking advantage of a limited peep show opportunity through a gap in a painted storefront window. It afforded an abbreviated view of one of the exotic dancers inside. A hired cop was working the end of the line to keep it from completely blocking the sidewalk. Times Square had undergone its major sanitizing some decades earlier to make it more family-friendly and Disney-fied. But clearly the cleanup had not extended to all quarters, as I discovered when I finally located the agency. It occupied a portion of a decrepit building whose street-level venues also included a blood bank and a discount camera and electronics store. In between them, a glass-fronted door led to a narrow corridor and a lobby at the back where two elevators were located. A letterboard marquee comprised of white letters on a black background inside a glass case listed the building's occupants. Ne Plus Ultra was on the second floor. Going back outside, I found the back entrance, which was actually a side entrance off an alleyway. The unmarked door was not locked. It led to a minuscule foyer and an elevator with a single sliding door. I stepped in and took a slow ride to a dimly lit hallway that was dank and musty and smelled of uncirculated air. It extended off to my left and to my right. There was a door directly in front of me with a peephole, likely the one Zeke had mentioned. Before pressing the buzzer, I explored the hallway in both directions. The floor was uneven, the carpeting rotted, and in some places threadbare down to the nap. In other places, the floorboard shone through. I passed by other doors, having no markings or identifications whatsoever. The paint on the doors and around the door frames was black enamel, chipped away in places, especially on the edge of the moldings, revealing multicolored layers of old paint beneath, like the different colored layers within a jawbreaker. After surveying the hall, I returned to the door across from the elevator, which, although lacking in a single identifying mark, I took to be the front door mainly because the paint looked newer. Also, the door itself looked new, perhaps a replacement for one kicked in by some disgruntled party seeking to steal back a model release. I pressed the buzzer and waited. An unfriendly voice behind the door answered, "Read the message."
"What message?"
"On the door."
"Sorry, I don't see a message."
With his voice up near the peephole, he said louder, "Look down, see the card that says, phone from the lobby." I looked carefully.
Sorry, there's no message out here. Somebody must have...
"What do you want, then?"
"I'm looking for Mr. K."
"I'm K. What do you want?"
Sir, my name is Parker Robinson. I'm interested in doing some modeling."
"Male modeling?"
"Yes, of course."
"Step back."
"What?"
"Back to where I can see you, more under the light."
I did as he requested, stepping back under the recessed lighting overhead.
"Turn around and stop halfway."
I turned and stopped.
"Okay, turn the rest of the way."
I complied.
"Now show me your driver's license. Hold it up to the peephole."
I took it out and held it up about 5 inches in front of the lens. He said,
"Massachusetts."
"That's right, but I go to school here in New York."
"Yeah, where?"
"Columbia."
"Okay, you can come in. Wait there a moment."
There it was, proof positive that an Ivy League education really does open doors. He came back after a while.
"I'll let you in, but first pat yourself down."
"Excuse me?"
"Search yourself for weapons. You do it, I'll watch."
Feeling both ridiculous and self-conscious, I nevertheless gave myself a quick frisking, then held my palms up to show I hadn't turned up any concealed weapons in my search. It seemed ludicrous. Then, from behind the door, came the snap clicks of multiple locks and bolts. He stepped out, holding me off by stiff-arming me with a palm to my sternum while he checked both directions up and down the hall.
"Can't be too careful," he said.